Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Wrestle Chat Radio, our Elimination Chamber Review edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Elimination Chamber at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on our conversation, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room. And we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, we're going to handle this a little bit differently than we normally do since we have limited time. And that is we're going to run through some of the results and then we're going to talk about this as a whole. Because it was a rather interesting event, wasn't it? There were some very unusual booking decisions. There were some matches I thought were better than expected. There were some matches that I really kind of scratched my head at. So let's just start with the pre-show match, not much to talk about there, of course. Hawkins and Ryder dropped to the Viking Raiders. The Viking Raiders are about equally as over as Hawkins and Ryder. So to be honest with you, I don't know where this is going. We find out a little bit later on in the event where it's going. And quite honestly, I don't think anybody's excited for it. But it was good to see Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins get a match on a pay-per-view. We start out with Daniel Bryan versus Drew Gulak. And this match, I think, was better than I expected, much better than I expected. I expected it to actually be good. But I expected it to be a gimmick match, really, where something was going to happen. Gulak was going to introduce a stable. Gulak was going to win, but through questionable means. Something was going to happen. And it left me scratching my head for this reason. Drew Gulak did not cheat at all. Drew Gulak did nothing to further his heel persona at all. If anything, the exact opposite happened. Drew Gulak wrestled a really strong match. Daniel Bryan congratulated him on it, basically. Daniel Bryan sold, you know, can you believe this guy? I had no idea he was this good type thing. Bryan took some nasty bumps in this match. Some nasty bumps for Gulak. So he's bumping all over the place for Gulak. Daniel definitely doing his job selling Drew Gulak, but to what end? Where's the payoff? What's the payoff? Drew Gulak is now a face? That's not going to work. Because the thing that endeared him to most of the fans were these PowerPoint presentations and his weird mannerism and his, you know, ability to get under people's skin. That's not going to work, his face. So I'm not sure where the payoff is in this match. The payoff in this match would have been, I would assume, that Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak were wrestling a brilliant match. Neither one of them were breaking the rules. Daniel Bryan was begrudgingly getting to respect Drew Gulak. And then just when he kind of trusts that this is going to be a scientific match and Gulak isn't going to cheat, Gulak pulls something outrageous and wins. That would be, I would assume, how you get Drew Gulak over as a heel and a competent one. Instead, he got over as a slightly less competent than Daniel Bryan face. And I just don't know what good this does anybody. It's not that it wasn't a good match. It was a very good match. I was very entertained by this match, and so were the crowd. But to what end? Where does this go? How does this further anybody for WrestleMania? Maybe we'll find something out on Friday, but I don't care what it is. This was the pay-per-view. This was the time. And I don't really understand the Gulak is even too tough to tap out. He just passes out. Referee stops it. I don't get it. You're trying to make Drew Gulak a face is the only thing I can think of, and I just don't know why you would do that. When 99% of his charisma comes as a heel. So this one has really got me confused, Mike. I'm not sure why they did what they did. A great match, but to what end?
Right, right. And look, the way he wrestled it as a heel because he was like, I'm going to take a, you know, advantage of the fact that his neck, he's had neck injuries. And once he dumped him on his neck, we saw him focus on the neck and the shoulders, you know. And yeah, he didn't cheat, but that's what you do, you know. And And like you said, I don't get where they're going with this. I mean, it was probably, let's call it a 4-star match.
Yeah, it was a good match.
But I don't get it.
That's my problem, and I don't get it either. I don't know what end do we get. Where's the payoff? The payoff is Drew Gulak is a far better wrestler than we thought he is. Daniel Bryan begrudgingly respects him, and now we move on saying, okay, Drew Gulak is a legitimate competitor in the WWE. That's not that good of a payoff. I thought we were going to get something by which anything Daniel Bryan did was kind of reversed. Daniel Bryan is freaked out by this, saying, how much has this guy studied me? This is weird. What has he made his life's ambition studying me? And he seems to have a counter for everything I do. And I thought Daniel Bryan was going to drop that first match and then say, look, I had no idea going into this match. I probably underestimated him a little bit. And I won't make that mistake again. I want a rematch. And I thought maybe Gulak would stall on that and live off of I beat Daniel Bryan for a while. Something. Instead, all we get is Daniel Bryan points to him, looks at him like, yeah, man, you're really good. And we get what from this? I don't get this. And no matter where they go with it, it's not going to be as good as if you just let Drew Gulak win by questionable means right at the end when Daniel Bryan was thinking, I guess this is going to be a legitimate, really solid scientific wrestling match. So I don't get it, Todd. I mean, it was a great match. I enjoyed it, but I just don't get the payoff.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said with Daniel Bryan, Drew Gulak, and you know when Gulak came out, he got a reaction, it was a hometown pop reaction, like that. And when the match started, he did like false finishes, chain wrestling, and everything. And in that match, he's like copying off Daniel Bryan. It was like, oh, this is.
Where's the payoff? Where, you know, this is the moment that Gulak had to be made a star. I don't think he was made a star. He was made to look competent. He was made to look like he could give Daniel Bryan a run for his money, but ultimately not win. And I think it was a missed opportunity to create something. A feud between him and Bryan, a star at the very least, even if he was going to lose or if he won really questionable means. I just think they missed an opportunity. We then get it, Andrade versus Humberto Carrillo. And once again, a great match. Angel Garza not at ringside like I thought he probably would be. They put on a very good match. Once again, I am forced to ask the question, and this leads to what? This is your last pay-per-view before WrestleMania. You have about 3 weeks to build stuff up, and really all your matches should already be set in stone, and you should be building them up. We don't know who Andretti's fighting. This was the time to do something, whether it was switch the title, whether it was to have Garza interfere, whether it was to have Rey Mysterio interfere, whatever's going to happen. It would have been great if it happened last night and not the Friday or the Monday before WrestleMania, because that's too late. So they put on a great match, but again, to what end? Andretti wins, cheats to win. Whatever, holds the trunks, gets the 3 count, fine. And we move on from there saying, oh, I can't wait to see Andretti at WrestleMania fight. Oh, wait a minute. They didn't build anybody up. This is the pay-per-view where you didn't have that many high-profile matches. This is where you need to do the build-up. This is where you need to have something happen. This is where you needed, Garza to interfere maybe and have Andretti kind of sad. Really didn't need him to interfere or act like I really had this. I don't need the extra help and start the tension. So you say, oh, maybe there's going to be something there. Or maybe you have Humberto win and then we don't know what's going to happen. Is there going to be a rematch? Is Zelina Vega going to try to get Garza into that spot instead of Andretti? At least there'd be branches on the tree. There's no branches on this tree. Humberto lost. And it's on to who for Andretti? I guess we'll find out. But when? Tonight? Why not last night? Why don't you give us a hint? So once again, Mike, it's a good match, but I'm not really sure they did anything to further our road to WrestleMania.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, you could have – I assume both of those other two guys were there, right? Ray,
I would imagine.
And Gauze, I would assume that they were both there. I mean, you could have had Ray come out and interfere, and you would have been setting up a possible Ray heel turn. You know, I mean, think about it. He interferes. It cost Humberto the match on Monday last on tonight. You know, you see Humberto come out and say, "Well, what the hell were you doing, Ray? You know, I had him."
Well, even if he didn't want to turn Ray, you could have turned Humberto. It doesn't matter what you do. I could critique whatever they did as it happened, but what they chose to do was nothing. They chose to do nothing. So in the first match, we have Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak, and they chose to do nothing to further that storyline. When they could have chosen any number of paths. You have Humberto Carrillo versus Andrade, and they chose to do nothing rather than to further a storyline in some way, shape, or form. So that's two matches that you chose to do nothing to contribute to WrestleMania when it's 4 weeks away. We then get our first Elimination Chamber match. And I got to tell you, I was very concerned when this match first started. It was a good idea to have the New Day and the Usos start, that's for sure. But something didn't gel this time. There were so many botched moves in that first 5 minutes, 6 minutes of this match that I was genuinely concerned. Is everyone okay? And what's going on? Something seems way off tonight. Kofi was blowing spots. He was slipping on the ropes. They were late for their spots to try to break up pinfalls. The Usos were sloppy. They were missing spots. When the Lucha house party first got in, they blew a spot or two. And I'm saying, what the hell is going on? It's like nobody knows their spot at all. The first 5 or 6 minutes of this match was looking really, really, really bad. When you have qualified top-level guys like the Usos and Kofi Kingston blowing spots, I started to say, is their heart even in this? I mean, are they even trying? What's going on? People are missing stuff left and right. Botching their moves, missing spots, being late for where they were. Later on, Otis is just literally walking around the ring going, I don't even know where I'm supposed to be. Who am I supposed to be fighting? But they finally got it together. About midway through the match, everything kind of hit its stride. And there were some really good spots with Tucker coming off the top of the pod was an amazing spot. I believe it was Lince Dorado doing his Spider-Man thing, climbing the top of the cage, swinging and doing a splash, kind of a Jeff Hardy type thing off the top of that cage. That was really cool. There were a couple of really cool spots. There were a couple of spots that left me scratching my head. One of them was Otis going through the pod because it was so obviously a plexiglass, you know, thin whatever, that how is that supposed to hurt Otis? Could you not have sprung for some candy glass? Some fake glass that would have shattered into a zillion pieces and made it look like, oh my God, that guy's, in, you know, that guy's hurt. Instead, it just went waffle, 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 like when you hit one of those plastic pieces of, signboard. You heard the noise. You're like, okay, well, that's a 320-pound man. And he's just hitting a bendable piece of plastic. How is it that he's supposed to be crippled? They didn't do that before with the cage. Remember, I forget who broke the cage, but it was like some kind of a, you know, candy glass, and it shattered into a million pieces, and everybody was like, oh, shit, and it looked really good. This did not look good. It looked embarrassing. And for a guy that big and supposedly that tough to have to lay out there after that and be like, I'm hurt, I'm hurt, I'm hurt. Really question that. I also want to say that during the course of this match, they kept playing up. And even Corey Graves, who's a heel announcer, kept saying, it must be nice to have a friend like Tucker. I mean, Tucker is willing to, you know, his main concern is Otis. And, you know, that's very valuable. To have something like that in this business, it's very valuable. They're playing that friendship up too much. My assumption is Tucker is going to turn on him at some point soon. The Miz and Morrison retain. Morrison hit one of the weakest Starship Pains I ever saw. He missed them. Everyone seemed a little off. Everyone just seemed a little off. There were some spots here that was definitely really good and made me go, oh, damn, that was great. But there were more spots that made me say, what the hell's going on? It just didn't seem to gel the way I think they had hoped it would gel. And for that reason, I can't really give this high marks, Mike. And again, I'm not sure this furthered anything to WrestleMania. You had all your teams in there. So now that The Miz and Morrison have beaten all those teams, it just seems like, okay, well, now you're going to have to start building up again for WrestleMania, and you only got 4 weeks. It's weird.
Right. Who's next to quote Goldberg, you know? Who's
right,
next?
Right.
I mean, who wasn't in this match? Which team wasn't in this match? I don't know. You know, they were all there.
SmackDown, they all were.
Right. So, I mean, and, you know, yeah, you had a couple of good spots here and there, and The Miz wrestled a pretty good match. Did a pretty good job with his stuff. But, again, you don't expect sloppiness when you have the New Day and the Usos in a match. You just don't expect
no, you don't.
That. And that's what you got.
I'm worried about the New Day, Mike, because, once again, remember a couple of months ago, I said Big E just seemed to have his heart not into it. And last night I felt the same way. I watched him in the ring and I'm like, this doesn't feel like the passionate New Day that used to be. It just something's not right. And again, Kofi Kingston slipping. This is a guy that manages to not get eliminated from the Royal Rumble in all these ways that you say, man, that takes perfect balance and perfect timing and perfect everything. And here he is, you know, botching moves and coming in late, and Big E's just like, going through the motions, and the Usos seem to be disinterested. I don't know. They picked it up later, like I said. It wasn't a disaster of a match because they had too many good spots. But it took what could have been a very, very strong match and turned it into a decent match. And if it had continued on the path it was early on, Todd, it would have been a disaster because early on it was awful.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with all the botches and the mistakes that I mentioned at the beginning of it, like you said, it was picking up like towards the middle and towards the end of the match. And like you said, with Kofi Kingston slipping on the ropes and missing the
And there was a spot with the Lucha house party where one of them just totally missed. They pulled the camera away. You know, they have that thing where there's a couple-second delay or whatever, and if it's something looks really bad, they pull the camera a little bit away. And they did that two or three times during this match because it was obvious, like, this missed or they blew this spot. It's not good. Not good. I mean, it makes The Miz and Morrison look good, I guess, but, I'd rather see them solo. I thought perhaps what we were going to get here is The Miz and Morrison have their breakup moment and maybe have that for a WrestleMania feud, but I guess that's not going to happen. We get Aleister Black versus AJ Styles. Now, this match was far better than I had anticipated because I thought this was going to be short. I thought it was going to be not so hard fought. And I thought it was basically going to end exactly the way it did with The Undertaker coming down and destroying AJ Styles. To my surprise, these guys put on a long match. They definitely busted ass, both AJ and Aleister Black. This was probably the best match of the night. But at the end of the day, no matter what you say, the outcome was never in question. We knew The Undertaker was showing up. It only just Aleister Black gets a little bit of the rub, but not much, because at the end of the day, he wins because The Undertaker chokeslams AJ Styles, and the whole point of the match was to get to The Undertaker and AJ Styles, not to get to anything for Aleister Black. Aleister Black has what to do at WrestleMania again? With a month to go? Who's his announced opponent? Who's the guy he's got to face? Oh, we don't know. So let's not go crazy with, oh, they're really pushing Aleister Black. No, if they were really pushing Aleister Black, he'd have a WrestleMania opponent. And right now he doesn't. So I'm a little worried about that. I don't think there's going to be a particularly great match between AJ Styles and The Undertaker either. That's another thing I'm worried about. However, this match I thought was very good, Mike. I thought it was very strong. It made Aleister Black look good. It made AJ Styles look good. It reminded me how good AJ Styles really is. Because there were moments in this match where I said, man, I'll tell you, at this stage of his career, he could dog it a little bit and get away with it. He could, you know, tone himself down a little bit and totally get away with it. He's AJ Styles now. He's got the contract. He said it's his last ever contract. He's retiring after this. He could take it easy. He could tone things down, and he did not at all. In fact, he cranked it up a few notches, and he looked great, and it put to bed any rumors that maybe he's not 100% after his injury. He looked great.
He looked great, and look, it also kind of helped out Anderson and Gallows and the whole group dynamic that they're trying, that we thought they were trying for, because they even got in a couple of good spots on yeah, he comes in and tries to choke slam, does the choke slam thing on them, and which ends up on AJ, but before he comes in, you know, for a long time it didn't look like they were going to interfere in the match, get involved. They were just standing
right
around watching like they were faces,
right,
you know. And then they get involved, you know. Fairly decent. Yeah, it ended up with them almost getting chokeslammed, but I would rather see that than them look like total jerks, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, it helped Aleister Black a little bit. He gets the win over AJ Styles. It's a big win. He doesn't have a WrestleMania opponent, so I don't know who it's supposed to be on his way to facing, but okay. It furthers AJ Styles and The Undertaker a little bit. If I have one critique of this match is, I don't like it when you undermine somebody's finisher when there's no reason to undermine it. If AJ Styles had to hit the flying forearm early, and Aleister Black kick out, I would have said, okay, well, you know, that was AJ Styles going for a quick win and Black wasn't wore down enough. Aleister Black was beaten like a dog when he hit his finisher and it wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. You know how many people have fallen victim to that and got pinned? And Aleister Black mysteriously kicks out, but he needs The Undertaker's help to win. See, you're sending mixed signals here. If he is so weakened he can barely stand up and he's hit by AJ Styles' finisher and can kick out, how come he needs The Undertaker's help to win? I mean, because that's Undertaker-like. You know, if The Undertaker did it, you'd say, okay, that's The Undertaker. That's a little different. If Brock Lesnar or Braun Strowman did it, you'd say, oh, okay, well, that's Brock Lesnar or Braun Strowman. You can't have Aleister Black kicking out of that. Just don't hit it. Because then you're weakening your own finisher, and I don't like when people do that. Todd, it was a good match. I just wish more had come out of this so we knew who Aleister Black's opponent for WrestleMania would be, or something.
You're absolutely, well, like you said, it would the Aleister Black and AJ Styles match, when towards the end of the match, where Styles is about to deal with the flying forearms, like Taker's coming out. I got that feeling. I'm like, yep, he's here. The lights goes out, and he was about to do the flying forearms off the top rope, and next thing you know, Gallows and Anderson, and the chokehold from The Undertaker. I'm like, he's in the ring already.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would have booked it this way, because do you want AJ Styles to lose prior to the Undertaker match at WrestleMania, even with this kind of interference? I don't know. Then if the answer is yeah, it doesn't hurt him, well, then it wouldn't hurt Aleister Black to lose under that same circumstance, would it? Aleister Black don't have a WrestleMania opponent right now. AJ Styles does. So if you're going to tell me it doesn't hurt AJ because of the way he lost, okay. But AJ's got a WrestleMania opponent. Aleister doesn't. So if Aleister Black lost under those same circumstances where, look, how many guys interfered, then what's the difference? So I'm not sure I like the booking of it, and I'm not even sure I like the fact that it was so obvious it was going to happen. But it was a really good match, and I give both guys credit for a really good match, especially AJ Styles, who I'm a little worried that, A, he's coming back off an injury, B, he's getting older, and C, he's already announced he's retiring after this. And I thought, you know, it wouldn't be uncharacteristic for someone to say, look, I'm toning things down for the next couple of years. I'm not going to be putting on these you know, heavy duty matches. Nah, AJ Styles went for it. So congratulations to him. Street Profits, Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. Well, I don't know what the deal is with the Red Cups, because the Street Profits went from nobody cares about them to every single person has brought a Red Cup. So I think this is rigged. Truthfully, I do, because the Street Profits were coming out to crickets and nobody had a Red Cup. And then one night in Brooklyn, everybody has a Red Cup. Where'd that come from? They got a pretty good ovation in Philly, which I would, you know, I'm not surprised. Rollins and Murphy come out with the AOP, and right away I'm saying to myself, maybe this is where we start the AOP versus the Street Profits. This is where what we need to do for WrestleMania. AOP and the Street Profits got to be a WrestleMania match. Got to start tonight. Well, boy, am I wrong. Because out come the Viking Raiders, who are not over at all, and chase the AOP back. By the way, the AOP is not over at all either. They're like mechanical robots. They have a zero charisma. They never say a word. All they do is just stumble around and fight the Viking Raiders. This is getting really old and really boring, and nobody cares. And now I'm looking down the barrel of the Viking Raiders versus AOP at WrestleMania, and no one wants to see that. Now, you could have made people want to see that if you gave the AOP the belts to begin with and not Rollins and Murphy, but that's not what you did. And this time, Buddy Murphy takes the pinfall. Street Profits are still the champions. Okay, well, to what end? Who are they going to fight? Who are they going to fight at WrestleMania? Again, this is your pay-per-view before WrestleMania. I want to see where the direction this road is taking. And instead, I'm seeing nothing. I'm seeing a lot of dead ends. Well, where do we go from here? Where do we go from there? Where do we go from there? I don't get that. And if the AOP can be run off so easily by the Viking Raiders, and Murphy and Seth Rollins are so easily distracted and so easily defeated, the only thing I can say is we're probably looking at Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Or does that leave Buddy Murphy? You never should have had him be a tag team to begin with. That's the problem. You had a legitimate tag team in the AOP, and you wouldn't let them loose to fight for the championship. Instead, it has to be Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. So now you're going to book Seth Rollins to fight Kevin Owens and Buddy Murphy. I don't know. You're the odd man out. You can sit out at ringside and interfere. You don't have a match. Now, the Street Profits look fine. Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy are good. There's nothing wrong with the match. It's mostly just, again, the payoff and where we're going with this. And for Kevin Owens to come out of the audience and sit in with popcorn, well, I don't know. If any other audience member had walked over to the announce desk and sit on it with popcorn, I think they would have been escorted out. So, and he doesn't have a match. So I don't know, Mike. This one just left me kind of cold.
Right. I mean, if you want to do that thing with Kevin Owens, you could have had him come out there and sit out there with it. This was a Raw match, right?
Yeah.
You know, guest commentary with the King and the rest of the guys. You could have had him do that. I mean,
absolutely.
It would have had the exact same effect.
Yep.
I mean, he could have still got up from the seat and done what he'd done. You know, he really didn't do anything but throw popcorn in what's his name's face, you know,
right,
in Rollins' face. So he could have done that. And it would have given him something to do other than what he did. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, we know where this is going. It's going to Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. And they basically ruined this Monday Night Messiah thing. Like they've ruined everything else. The only reason
I agree with you, Mike. I agree with you.
Right.
I really do. I agree with you because this had legs. But in order to have legs, you had to prove that Seth Rollins was rolling with it. In other words, for Seth Rollins to come out and say, I want to thank the audience for making me what I am now, because what I am now is far superior than what I was. What you was the WWE champion. And what you are now is nothing. You're in a tag team. How the hell can you justify saying I'm better than I was? No, you're not. You're losing to Montez Ford. You're not. What would have been better is if he went on a big win streak and said, look, I'm taking care of the people in my flock first, in the people who believe in me. The AOP, they're going to get the tag team belts. Buddy Murphy, we're setting you up for a title shot. Then I'll get what I want. And if everything he did was relatively successful, he could rightfully say, I don't know, things are working out good for me. Prove me wrong. Everything's working out for shit for him. So anybody with a brain in their head would say, Jesus Christ, man, this ain't working at all. So I don't get this. I don't get how you destroy that angle because you had such a good one going and now he's hopeless. Seth Rollins went from I beat Brock Lesnar three straight times to I can't beat Montez Ford. And yet he's sitting there going, oh, no, I'm much better than I was. Well, then I don't know because the fans don't see it that way. And Mike is absolutely correct. You've ruined this Monday Night Messiah thing. All you had to do, I knew they were going to ruin it when they gave them the tag team belts rather than AOP when the AOP is a qualified tag team. Because that doesn't even make any sense. Why wouldn't the AOP say, wait a minute, Seth? You've just basically taken away our chances of being the tag team champions. We don't like that. That's ridiculous. And Kevin Owens is fast becoming their brand new version of Dean Ambrose. The next thing he's going to do is talk to a plant and order pizza. Oh, we lost Dean Ambrose, so we'll just make Kevin Owens Dean Ambrose. He'll be the wacky popcorn-eating, order-a-pizza guy, talk-to-a-plant backstage guy. That's what's going to happen, because I see it happening. This isn't good for Kevin Owens either. People don't want to see Kevin Owens be this Dean Ambrose wacky guy. They want to see him be that clever, devious, underhanded Kevin Owens, only he's doing it to the bad guys. It's not what's happening. As far as the Street Profits being tag team champions, I'm not sold on them. I'm sorry. I'm just not. They're okay in the ring. They're, you know, what were they in NXT? That's about how far they should go in WWE. I don't see this as being a long-term thing or them being world beaters. And I don't even see this Red Cup. I don't even, again, I suspect those are handed out. I really do. Because, man, did that happen all of a sudden. So I'm not a big fan of this one. We see where it's going. I'm not sure I like where it's going. If you're Buddy Murphy, you really can't like where it's going because you don't see anything for yourself at WrestleMania, right? We then get to Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and Shinsuke Nakamura versus Braun Strowman for the Intercontinental title. And the minute Braun Strowman backstage said, Sami Zayn is nothing but a weak little coward. Now, Shinsuke Nakamura, on the other hand, is one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, and so is Cesaro. I said he's losing. He's absolutely losing. No question in my mind he's losing. And he had to lose because that's the corner WWE painted themselves into. If he did not lose, one of two things had to happen. Either A, Sami Zayn refused to tag anybody else in, lose, and have Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro beat the freak out of him and say, you cost us our shot because you're a moron, and turn face. That's the only other thing that could have happened. If they got into that match and they lost, that's the end of their careers. Because if the two of them together with Sami Zayn can't beat one guy, then forget it. There's no point of you even being in the WWE. So they do win because it's the only thing that can happen. But even though I'm saying it's the only thing that can happen, it's still a disaster because that's the end of Braun Strowman too, by the way. So Braun Strowman, the monster who beat every single person in the tag team division by himself and had to pick a 10-year-old kid from the audience because he didn't even have a tag team partner, goes down in defeat. What's the last thing Braun Strowman's won? Okay, he won the Intercontinental belt. And before that, he's losing to Tyson Fury. And before that, he's dropping matches. And now he's dropping matches. How long did he hang on to that belt? First title defense, boom, gone. This is what you had planned for him? The luster has come off Braun Strowman. It's really not through any fault of his own. It's just the way he's been booked and stuff. And I don't know about rehabbing him. You're going to have to turn him heel to rehab him. And even then, I don't know if it's going to work because the people aren't buying anymore that he's an indestructible monster when he can't take one haluva kick when before you were throwing him in garbage trucks and he was coming out of it. Now, I don't know whether Sami Zayn's going to be the champion. I don't know whether they're going to do the free bird rule. I don't know. This could be fun if they're going to do the free bird rule. But the bottom line of the situation is you painted yourself in a corner to get here. Could you have given it to somebody else besides Braun Strowman so you didn't have to destroy Braun Strowman's credibility on the way? There were other people who could have got that belt for a short period of time if this is what you had planned. So, again, this is a gimmick match. I don't know what it's going to lead to. You got 4 weeks to make it lead to something at WrestleMania. I'm not a big fan of how this went down. It wasn't even, in my opinion, a very good match, Mike.
It wasn't a good match. And the only thing good is that they actually gave Sami Zayn something to do. I mean, he ended up getting the pin and did all that stuff. But, like you said, this could be fun. And the only, to me, they might as well stick him back under the pig mask and stick him back with Bray Wyatt, you know? Because
the only thing that'll save him.
The only one that can rehab him.
Yeah, it's not good for Braun Strowman. I look at Braun Strowman's future here in this company, and I'm saying I don't see anything major. What are you going to do from here? Where do you go from here? So I don't know, Todd. I didn't think it was an especially good match. Yes, they had to basically win if they didn't want to bury all three of them, but that doesn't mean it's even the right decision to even have the match.
This is like one of the worst matches I ever seen. Oh, like you said, it was not a good match. It was not what I expected it to be. You know, the one funny part with Corey Graves said to Michael Cole, "You're gonna puke now" or something like that in the part that one little line right there. I kind of laughed at that part.
And when Cesaro went into the audience, Cesaro actually got knocked into the audience by Braun Strowman. Could we not have had something by which maybe Cesaro and Nakamura got into it a little bit, and maybe they're going to – I would have loved to have seen a Cesaro-Nakamura match at WrestleMania. Wow. Because you're not 100% sure who's going to win, are you? Instead, we get this. We're going to have some free bird rule probably with the title, or maybe Sami Zayn's going to say, no, it's mine, like Daffy Duck. I don't know. I don't know where it's going, but it's going a place where I don't really care. That's the problem. I don't care. We then get to the Women's Elimination Chamber match. And boy, do I have a lot to say about this. Number one, let's be very clear. I am not one of these militant, you know, women's rights people. I believe in equal rights. I don't believe in special rights. I believe in equal rights. What's good for a man is good for a woman. Same pay, same rights, same everything. However, if you think for one moment that the WWE gives one single damn about the women's division that they have, you are on crack. If you think they care about a women's revolution, a women's evolution, where we're going to really, you know, use all of our women wisely, you are smoking dope. There wasn't a reason in the world to even have this match except that Vince McMahon said Shayna Baszler hasn't looked too good. We got to make her look good before WrestleMania. So throw the entire women's division to the wolves to make one girl look good, because who the fuck cares about anybody else except her and Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, and that's it. This is an insult. You did the same thing with Ronda Rousey, didn't you? Oh, nobody can stand 1 second with Ronda Rousey because they're all weak little women who pretend to be wrestlers. And this is a real fighter. Where are you going to go when Shayna Baszler's not around? Where are you going to go when Ronda Rousey's not around? I'll tell you where you're going to go. Back to nobody cares about your women's division because none of them are being booked as any damn good. Oh, if I'm Natty, I can have a good match with Ruby Riott, but God, let Shayna Baszler get in there and I can't hang for a second because I suck. Wow. Wow. And then to add insult to injury, she beats people in such a short time that there's still a minute before the pod opens up. Now, you could make an argument that the reason they won't open the pod immediately, the next pod immediately, is because she has earned and deserves that minute rest because she beat somebody so quickly. But if that's going to be your logic, when the last pod is there, you may as well open it. Nothing else is going to happen. There's nobody else. And I feel sorry for all of them, really. But the one I think I feel the most sorry for is Asuka, because she destroyed her career last night. And she did it happily, and she did it with energy, and she did it with vim and vigor. And she has proven that she knows and understands wrestling very well, and she's a team player. Now, let me tell you this. I would rather see Asuka versus Shayna Baszler 100 times than Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler once. I used to think the money was in Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler. I don't think that way anymore. I didn't realize how much I would rather have seen Asuka and Shayna Baszler until they got in each other's face during the contract signing. And I'm saying, Matt, this could be a really good match. You could have something really special here because Asuka is a little different than Becky Lynch. It's not just going to be a brawl. It's going to be a really good match. You could do some real shooting in this match. You could have something pretty good. Well, you've ruined it because just like everybody else, she got in one or two shots and then down she goes because Shayna Baszler can't be beaten unless, of course, she's in the Royal Rumble standing there like a moron while Charlotte Flair throws her out when she could have easily just pushed her out. She goes 12 minutes with Kairi Sane in a back-and-forth match, 2 minutes with Asuka. Asuka's nothing. Liv Morgan's nothing. Sarah Logan's nothing. Ruby Riott's nothing. Natalya's nothing. It's only Becky Lynch that's something. Okay, well, who's she going to fight when Shayna Baszler's not around? Who's Shayna Baszler going to fight when Becky Lynch isn't around? You've just ruined your women's division. You've ruined it. And you made yourself look stupid in doing it, by the way. The very least you could have done, is to have some people give her a good fight. If you wanted to wipe out a Liv Morgan that you obviously got no plans for, fine. You wanted to wipe out a Sarah Logan who you obviously have no plans for, fine. Ruby Riott deserved better, Natty deserved better, and Asuka deserved a lot better. And this match ended in a very sour way. You know, when the pay-per-view was over, I said to myself, you should not have had this be the feature match. This should not have been the feature match. Because A, it did not live up to anybody's expectations. It was exactly what it was supposed to be, just a vessel for Shayna Baszler to look unbeatable, which was so obvious. So obvious. Shayna Baszler says, well, I fight in a cage. I'm a cage fighter. And the cage didn't come into play one time. So it didn't really matter whether she was in a ring surrounded by a cage or she was in a ring surrounded by alligators because it didn't matter. So how did that come into any sort of – the whole thing was just ridiculous. If you want Shayna Baszler to win, I get it. But could you have made it any more obvious? And then on top of that, if you're going to make it obvious, at least say, look, we got a couple of women in this division who, number one, if you want Asuka to look strong, you got to get Asuka in there first or second. So that what ends up happening is you say, well, okay, she beat Asuka, but look who Asuka had to go through. Let Asuka eliminate two or three people. And then her and Shayna Baszler have 8-10 minutes to fight, and Shayna Baszler wins, because then you say, well, okay, but look, Asuka took a lot of punishment before Baszler's pot opened. So maybe we could still get a Shayna Baszler-Asuka match where Asuka's fresh and Shayna Baszler's fresh. No, that's not what you did. You did exactly the opposite. Shayna Baszler was the one who wasn't fresh. Asuka perfectly fresh, and Asuka can't hold a candlestick to her. It's absurd. You did the same thing. You sacrificed your entire women's division for Ronda Rousey, and now you're going to do it for Shayna Baszler. And I was against it with Ronda Rousey, Mike, and I'm against it with Shayna Baszler. I think it's a horrible idea and not a good match.
I do too, you know. And you're right about Asuka. She should have been the first one out. But, again, that's the thing. I don't get it. And, look, I'll say this again. Even though they don't have anything about her for her, but Sarah Logan, we talked about her before. She has a look about her. I looked up her weight, and she's like 5'5 and 150 pounds. That's a bowling ball, you know. She yep. has that look about her that she could be special if they wanted her to be special, you know. And that's the thing. I don't – with any of these girls, you know, all these girls have something. Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, you know. Maybe not so much, Vanna, because we know what she is. Maybe not so much because of the gimmick. Maybe not so much Liv Morgan because of the gimmick. But
yeah.
Asuka, Sarah Logan – Ruby Riott, they all have something that could
I agree.
Be something if they wanted them to, you know?
I agree 100% with that. Ruby Riott has a very unique look. She has a very unique gimmick. And if you let her be that wild sort of punk rockish brawling with a little bit of wrestling thrown in, tough girl, great. We know what Natty is, so Natty is what she is. She's a veteran, she's a solid wrestler, and, you know, she's got that family heritage. Sarah Logan has a charisma. I don't care what anybody says. Sarah Logan has a sort of a charisma that I very much think the WWE is wasting. Very much think they're wasting. See, Sarah Logan is one of these women who, what's the right word for it? I don't want to sound sexist or whatever here, so you got to be careful in today's age, but here's what I'm saying. People look at Lana, and they look at Liv Morgan, and the women say, I'll never look like that. You know, they got nothing to do but go to the gym and get their hair done professionally and money for all this stuff and professional makeup artists, and, you know, I'll never look like that. Guys look at them and say, well, you know, she's beautiful, but I could never, you know, she wouldn't give me the time of day. Here you got Sarah Logan, who is just naturally pretty. She's just a naturally pretty girl. Women look at her and say, oh, she's pretty, but I, you know, she's like me. And guys look at her and say, that's the kind of a girl that, you know, I would probably be, you know, okay with. In other words, she represents the every person, much like Steve Austin represented the every person when the guys were like, that's me, man. I drink a beer. I don't necessarily work out a lot. I'm a fighter. And the women kind of say, well, I like a guy like that because he's not a pretty boy like Shawn Michaels or all these other people. You know what I'm saying? They're more easily identifiable with. Sarah Logan is more easily identifiable with. When Sarah Logan walks out, I see a very normal looking, yeah, she has the makeup and stuff, but I see a very normal, pretty girl, but a very normal girl that you say, yeah, you could relate to her as a, I think she needs to drop the Viking thing and just go with like the, you know, down home on the farm hunter girl or whatever she used to be with the Riott Squad, because that was working. She has a charisma about her. And I'm telling you, out of everyone in that ring, except maybe, you know, Asuka and Baszler, she's the one who could be a blue chipper. If you get, and she's got a really cool fighting style, by the way. And you're just throwing her to the wolves. I don't know what it is you don't like about her, but you're just throwing her to the wolves. Now, as far as Liv Morgan is concerned, I feel sorry for Liv Morgan. She had a really good gimmick. And she was on the verge of getting another really good one. And now you've just put her into, I don't even know what her gimmick is supposed to be. What is it? She's just a pretty girl? That's her gimmick? I'm a pretty girl. Well, that's great. I'm a pretty girl who's bisexual. Okay. Well, okay. I mean, what is your gimmick? I don't even get it. I don't even get it. You look at Asuka, you know what her gimmick is. You look at Shayna Baszler, you know what her gimmick is. You look at Natty, you know what her gimmick is. You look at Ruby Riott, you know what her gimmick is. You look at Sarah Logan, you're like, I don't know. Just a pretty girl, I guess. I don't know. She's reverted. She was better when she had the pink hair and she was doing the crazy chick. Because at least she was like a strung out version of CM Punk's girlfriend there. Wife. You look at her and you say, that girl dangerous. Because, see, much like, I can't even think of her name. Boy, that's pretty bad. It's a little early for me, Todd. Well, who am I talking about? CM Punk's wife.
AJ Lee.
Yeah, AJ Lee. You know how AJ Lee had that cuteness that you're like, you know what? That's dangerous. Because I could see guys falling for her shit because she's cute. And she has that sex appeal. And they're like, oh, man, she's digging me. So I'm falling for her bullshit. You know, that's why it worked. Well, Sarah Logan could have been the same way. I mean, not Sarah Logan. Liv Morgan could have been the same way where you say, well, look, she's a very devious girl. She understands that she's pretty. She understands that she can get under guy's skin. She gets it and she exploits it. You could have done that with her easily. Easily could have done it. Instead, you just, I don't even know what the hell you did to her. But whatever you did to her, you ruined her career because she's going nowhere. Sarah Logan's going nowhere. Nobody's going anywhere, really, except for, obviously, Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch. And you better start building some other stars. Could we not have had the Riot Squad momentarily join forces to beat the ever-loving hell out of Asuka for 5 minutes, 4 minutes? And then turn on each other? Shayna Baszler comes out of the pod, eliminates the Riot Squad relatively quickly, and Asuka recovers, and then you have that big moment where those two fight for 5 or 6 minutes, and Shayna Baszler gets the better of Asuka, but then at least we say, yeah, after the Riot Squad mugged her for 5 minutes, and she was injured. Couldn't you have done that? Couldn't you have said, look, the Riot Squad got together, all three of them, they injured Asuka. Asuka's laying outside the ring, hurt. And now they're turned on each other because they know, you know, Asuka's weakened. One of us can take her now. So now they're going to turn on each other. Then when Shayna Baszler eliminates her, you say, well, okay, but that was a hurt Asuka. I'd like to see that match when she's not hurt. You know where I'm coming from, Mike?
Yeah, I would like to see that match when she's not hurt. And look, this is, with Liv Morgan, we've talked about this, about that doll that we saw that the Miz's daughter went to grab and who it looked like. I mean, and that's what you were referring to earlier. She was on the verge of getting another good gimmick, and they turned her, basically they turned her into Lana.
Yeah, basically. Mike, I will go to my grave saying the original plan was to have her be with Bray Wyatt, because you're not going to tell me that just coincidentally Bray Wyatt introduces what? When's the last time Bray Wyatt's Funhouse did something and it meant nothing? They said something, put something on the wall, showed a close up of something, but it means nothing. When's the last time that happened? It hasn't happened. They went out of their way to make sure that doll looked like Liv Morgan. It looked exactly like Liv Morgan. That doll could have looked like anything. It looked exactly like Liv Morgan. So you're not going to tell me, I don't care who's telling, oh, that was never in the works. Bullshit, that wasn't in the works. Bullshit. And they changed it. And that's too damn bad, because now she's got nothing. And Ruby Riott comes back to all the fanfare in the world, and what happens to her? Nothing. Just like, remember this happened with Ronda Rousey. Remember the Elimination Chamber, was it? I think Ruby Riott and Ronda Rousey, and what happened? Oh, my God. Ruby Riott got the hell kicked out of her in 2 minutes flat, right? Now here comes another MMA girl, and oh, guess what you get to do, Ruby? You get to get the hell kicked out of you in 2 minutes again. At what point are you going to say, we're not going to do this? We're not sacrificing our entire women's division. It's ridiculous. Could you have swerved us? Could you have Becky Lynch hit the cage and her and, you know, Shayna Baszler fight it out to the point where Shayna Baszler wasn't pinned but also left the cage, so we're not sure what the hell's going to happen. In the interim, somebody else gets the win until we figure out, well, wait a minute, Shayna's never been eliminated. Maybe you're going to have a match on, you know, one of the shows and figure out what's going to happen here because that's not fair. And something. Could you give us anything except you all know what's going to happen? You know what it's like? It's like a movie, and you've already seen the movie, and you're sitting there going, okay, well, I'll watch it again because I'm just bored and I got nothing to do. But that shouldn't be a wrestling match. We already knew Shayna Baszler was winning. So your job is to swerve us and say, well, you know what? Since everybody thinks she's winning, how about if her and Becky Lynch get into it? She finds her way out of the cage to Becky Lynch. They brawl all over the audience. It appears as though Asuka wins. And we're going to have Shayna Baszler versus Asuka in one of the matches before WrestleMania to say, well, that winner now will actually go on to WrestleMania because this wasn't fair. Shayna Baszler was never actually eliminated. Anything. Could you give us anything? Could you give us anything to say, wow, I didn't see that coming? We knew Aleister Black was winning because The Undertaker was showing up. Guess what happens? Aleister Black won because The Undertaker was showing up. We knew Shayna Baszler was going to win because guess what? She's got to go to WrestleMania to fight Becky Lynch. That was a no-brainer. So two of your biggest matches was absolutely no question. And we were pretty sure that the WWE wasn't going to give it to the Usos or New Day again because they didn't need the belt. So it was either going to be The Miz and Morrison keeping it or they were going to put it on Roode and Ziggler, which I really thought they probably would do, and they didn't. But look, a lot of this was pretty predictable. A lot of this was good, but it furthered nothing. It furthered nothing. So if you want me to rate this just on the matches, I would give this a B minus. But because this is the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania, and I expected a lot of branches on that road to WrestleMania tree and got zero that I didn't already know about. AJ and The Undertaker, Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch, we already knew it. So that didn't further anything. We already knew that. So aside from those two, did it further anything? No. You gave us nothing else. So I'm giving this a C minus. I just don't think it was, I just don't think it lived up to what it could have been, Mike. And I think that they wasted a lot of possible potential.
I'm going to go ahead and give it a D minus as well. And the fact of the matter is remember when, I believe it was the Royal Rumble and, Curtis Axel did not get eliminated. Right.
Right.
And what happened? He took that and he made something of it. He went, oh, we got Axelmania going on. I never got eliminated. I'm still in. I should be winning because I never got eliminated from the Royal Rumble. You know.
I agree. So
and they made.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Which would you rather see, Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler one on one, or would you have rather seen Riot Squad momentarily reform, beat the hell out of Asuka, turn on each other, get couple of them eliminated, Shayna Baszler come out of the cage, eliminate everybody except Asuka, Becky Lynch hit the cage, beat the hell out of Shayna Baszler, Shayna Baszler chase her out of the goddamn cage, right through like Otis did, Asuka wins sort of by forfeit, and then they say, well, I don't know what's going to happen. I guess we're going to have a three-way dance at WrestleMania, and it will be Becky Lynch, Asuka, and Shayna Baszler. That's a great match, Mike. I'll take that match over Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler alone.
Oh, yeah, I will, too. And here's what's sad about this. You take any number of these girls, and you ship them, particularly Riott Logan and Morgan, and you ship them to AEW, that division becomes instantly a better division. You know?
I just think there were so many wasted chances to swerve the audience, to further the feuds for WrestleMania, to start new feuds that we know now are going to be WrestleMania matches, and they wasted all those opportunities, Todd. What's your rating?
I got to go with you there, C-.
So really, the road to WrestleMania's last pay-per-view was kind of blah, a little bit weird, had some great matches as far as in-ring, but really no payoffs, no branches on the tree to WrestleMania that we didn't already know about. So it's really unsuccessful. We'll see what ends up happening tonight. I do want to say one of our listeners and a regular in the chat room, Derek, his birthday's today. So happy birthday, Derek. Hope you're enjoying your birthday. We will watch Monday Night Raw tonight, and we'll be back here tomorrow to talk about it. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.